just Moshe Rabbeinu. The name Moshe. Everyone knows that Moshe Rabbeinu has many names. Okay, let's discuss this idea. Let's discuss the idea, the name of Moshe. And Simchas Torah, there's a beautiful piyut. And the piyut borrows from Maimon Chazal, a Medrash, tells us the names of Moshe Rabbeinu. What were his names? Moshe has 10 names. Give me one moment. Let me find the Maimon Chazal. The Chayin Amer Sagmar Masechta Megillah. Al HaKosa V'Ishtoi HaYehudiyah. Yoldo es Yered. Who is the Isha Hayehudiya? We're discussing Levi. Amram. What? Where is this Chazal? Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amir Aleph. We quote the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. We once upon a time learned this. Divrei Hayamim. So who is the Ish that we are referring to? We are referring to Amram. Amram was the Gadol Hadar. Amram is such an amazing person. You can never say enough about Amram. We talk a lot about Moshe, we talk about Klal Yisrael. Amram deserves, like, you know, I listen to Rabbi Rekefet on his tapes. Whenever he gets to a personality that he likes and he's intrigued, he always says, this person deserves a PhD thesis. Someone should come up and write a doctorate on this individual. So Amram is definitely one of those types of people where we should really spend a lot more time on, and I will a little bit today. The pasuk says, hardly mentioned, almost never. When is he ever mentioned? He's mentioned indirectly. Vayelech ish mi beis levi kaches bas levi.
Was he even mentioned by name at this time?
Was he ever mentioned by name? He is mentioned by name. He is mentioned by name in the yichus of Klal Yisrael, but it's very rarely mentioned. You're right. And here in Divrei Hayam, we only refer to him indirectly, and we refer to his wife Yocheved indirectly. The Ishto HaYehudiyah, his Jewish wife, Yolda Es, who did she give birth to? He was the father, she was the mother. Es Yered, Avi Gidor, the father of Gidor, Vies Chever, Avi Socho, Vies Yikusiel, Avi Zonuach. We have a lot of names here. So the Gemara says, who are all these people that he gave birth to? So many people? No, it's only one person. It's one person, typical of Divrei Hayamim, it's one person who had multiple names. The father is Amram. The Yehudiya is Yocheved. The child is Moshe. And Moshe has many names. A name captures your essence. The name captures your mission, your tafkid in this world. Moshe Rabbeinu had many tafkidim in this world. He did not have only one mission. Many missions. Yered ze Moshe. You would think Yered means he brought down to the world the Torah. It's not what it says. You know why he was called Yered? He brought down Mon. The first thing it says about Moshe is an unbelievable thing that I want to discuss. It's an amazing thing. When you talk about a Gadol, what was his godless? Tell me his godless. Talk about a certain Rosh Shiva. Think about a great person. What was his godless? Oh, it was a big Talmud Chacham. Very nice. Big Baal Musar. He's the Davin. You just see how he Davin? He was a big Baal Avoida. He was a nice guy. He was a really nice guy. What else can you say about a person? He was good to his wife. He had great children. You know what the biggest shvach when the Torah talks about Moshe Rabbeinu? He provided people with parnasa. Pshutoi kemashmoi. In ein kemach, ein Torah. He provided people with Parnasa. Who is this person, Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, we know him as Moshe. Forget about Moshe. What is it? What was his real name? We have a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. We have the person, his name was Amram. He had a wife called Yocheved. They gave birth to this person, Yolda Es Yered. Why was he called Yered? What's the big deal? Why was he called Yered? This man was responsible for the sustenance of 3 million people for 40 years in the desert. This is godless. Don't tell me Torah, Musa, you're Shemaim, you went to Shemaim, it was a Malchal, Kim Tzvokas. Don't talk to me about religion. Let's talk Tachlis. Tachlis. Im ein kemach ein Torah. If there's no food, there's nothing. Nothing. Okay, nothing. In the Holocaust, the Nazis knew this. The Nazis had plenty of food to feed the people that they didn't want to kill. Okay, people in the labor camps. They wanted to kill everyone, but before they wanted to kill all the Jews, they wanted to squeeze them out for all whatever they can get from them. They had plenty of food to feed them. Plenty of wasted food went into the garbage. They refused to feed the people that they wanted to keep alive. You know why? Because if you don't have food, you don't have the presence of mind to rebel and to create an uprising. If you don't have what to eat, there's only one thing you think about the whole day.
Food.
Yeah. And that's it. It all starts and stops there. There's no room left in your mind to think about how am I going to get out of here? How am I going to organize and rebel and worry about Shabbos and Yom Tov? It was a cruel, cruel technique of deliberately not feeding people for whom they had food for.
Just for dieting doesn't work because everybody's thinking the whole day about the food.
It's true. Exactly. Exactly. When people go on a good diet, it's counterproductive many times to go on a crash diet, because when you go on a crash diet, you're not eating, I can't think about my work, I can't think about what I'm supposed to do, I think about food the whole day. So then, you know, who cares about the diet? And then you go in and you eat twice as much, and the whole thing was counterproductive. Exactly. The psychology is very important to understand. This is an incredible Maimon Chazal. When Chazal wanted to tell you about the real name of Moshe Rabbeinu, whose real tafel in this world was Parnassa, and that's the Limud Musar, that before you begin to talk about all the godless of your Torah and your Shemayim, the first thing is Parnassa. And Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. Avigdor Miller said, I was in someone's house, and he asked me, we were going around the table, asking these questions, this is a very funny type of meal. And he asked him, I want everyone here to tell me, what is the definition of a real friend? Define for me in words the meaning of a real chaver. So this one said this inside, and this one, and I thought I'm a big chacham, I'm going to tell them the ultimate answer, right? Everyone, I'm a big balgaiva. I know the ultimate answer to what makes a person a real friend. I'll say to them, a real friend is someone to whom you can reveal your averis. I thought I had such profound words to say. Yeah. And then he finally said something which blew my mind, and he's right, 100% right. And he said, Rav Avigdor Miller says, the definition of a real friend is someone who teaches you how to make money. Simple as that. Someone who has enough concern to go over to you and sees that you struggle, let me teach you how you can make money. I'll teach you a trade, I'll teach you a technique, I'll get you a job. That is a real friend. Everything else is Baba Mises. Chazal, Yered. If you wouldn't see this Chazal, what would the average person say? He was called Yered. Yered means to bring down. This is Moshe's tafkid, to bring down. What did he bring down to this world, Moshe Rabbeinu? The Torah. He brought down the Torah. He went to Shemayim, the Malachim, and he had a fight with them, and he brought the Torah down to this world. Isn't that what you would say? Yeah. Isn't that what you would say?
He was very humble. He brought himself down.
Or he humbled himself. Isn't that what you, if you go ask any child in any yeshiva, why was it, Yered means to bring down. So why was Moshe called Yered? Who, in the last thing they would say to you is, he brought the mun down to the people in the Midbar for 40 years, had what to eat. They shouldn't starve to death. It's the last thing they would say. Parnasa, you know, once you're Isaac and Torah, and the nail of the Parnasa comes. Right? Isn't that how we're taught?
But Baruch Hashem. Yered was called later in life. What was he called at birth, his presence?
His parents, they called him Yered. By the Bris Milah, what happened first? The Bris Milah? There was no Bris Milah, Ki Toivu. 3 months later, Basya came on the scene 3 months after he was born. What do they call him for 3 months? Yered! Yered. Why Yered? Well, it was Nevuah, obviously. It says in the part they call him Yered. You don't really know what the name means until in hindsight. But the parents gave him a name when he was born. Basya called him Moshe 3 months later. It's an incredible Gemara to put your priorities in order. First thing, religion is a beautiful thing, Rabbi Yisai, but you got to be practical. And I'm not making this up. This is the Gemara. I'm reading you the Gemara. What is his name? Yoldas Yered. Avi Gedor, Avi Chev, Avi Soichai, Avi Esyukusil, Avi Zonoach. Yered ze Moshe. V'lo menikro shmo Yered. She yorad lohem li Yisrael mon biyomav. Parnasa. He sustained 3 million people for 40 years in the desert. Wow. We're not talking religion. We're talking over here, the Yosef, who Hamashpir, a provider. You know what this is? This is godless. Next. I'm reading the Gemara. Thank you very much. I already made a shakel, so I have to make another shakel. Sheyar lahem Yisrael mon biyamav. Gedar, what's Gedar? Shegodar pirtzoy sein shel Yisrael, he was goyder the pirtzoy, the breaches in Klal Yisrael. Now, what breaches are we referring to? What are we referring to? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I didn't look up the Gemara in detail, but obviously we're referring to either takonos or he protected them. He protected their vulnerabilities. Their vulnerabilities. Obviously, they had spiritual vulnerabilities. They had physical vulnerabilities. He was goyder. Notice the Musar Haskel. We're not even focusing on religion. We're focusing on protection. Shelter. Gedar. Shelter. No one should come and just run over you. No one should come attack you. You're vulnerable. I'm your protector. The goal of a leader, greatness, it's not what we think of greatness. Greatness is those who provide the basic necessities, the basic vulnerabilities have been taken care of. Chever. It doesn't say that. That's later on. Look at the procession. It's amazing. This is Maimon Chazal we take for granted. We don't even pay attention to it because we call Moshe, Simchas Torah, we think about the 10 names. Look at the Seder. Everything is in the order. We're not talking about all these esoteric things. We're talking basics, food, shelter. No one's going to step on your feet. Next, Chever. Shechiber es Yisrael. Now we get a little bit more religious. Number three, Shechiber es Yisrael la'avim shebashmayim. He went and he connected the connection. He joined them to their Father in heaven. Soichoi shenase lechem li'Yisrael kesukah. He was like a sukkah. He was like a covering for them. Yikusiel shekivu Yisrael lekel biyamav. Here we get really religious. The Jews, they yearned. He taught them how to yearn for Hashem. Zanuach shehizniach avoinoisim shel Yisrael. He cut away their sins. Avi, avi, avi. It says avi three times in this pasuk. Av b'toira, av b'chochma, av b'nevius. The religious element of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the last. That's the last thing. The last thing, the most important thing in life is what have you done? The purpose of living in this world is to serve others, not yourself. First thing is Parnasa. He provided the vulnerability. He gave them a connection to Hashem. He was a shelter for Klal Yisrael. He taught them how to yearn for Hashem. He cut away their sins. And the very, very last thing is we describe his personal qualities. That's the end of the game. It's a very good thing for Hesped, to this Maimon Chazal. The very, very last thing is his personal qualities. He was a Talmud Chacham. He was a smart man. And he was a prophet. He spoke to Hashem. It's the last thing. It's the last thing. You would think that's the first thing, right? He was the Avon Nevi'im. That's the last thing. What's much more important is Parnasa. A place no one's going to live. You're protected. I'm going to protect you. You have a Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What he has done for Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of Musar to take just from learning this. Okay, who comes on the scene? Who comes on the scene is the 11th name. The next, I have to count all the names. How many names are there? The next name is Basya. Now Basya, by the way, that's not really her real name. What's her real name? Bisya. Nowhere in Tanakh does it say the name Basya. It says Bisya. Why do we call her Bastia? It's a Chazal. It's a very fascinating name that Chazal said that she was Baska. They took her name and they found in her name an allusion to her holiness. She was the daughter of Hashem. Okay? Baska. The daughter of Hashem. She converted to Yadus. She defied her father. When she took the child, Moshe, into her home, her servant says in the Medrash, they said to her, it's the minig shel kol olam that when a king makes an edict, he enacts a law, everyone ignores the law except for the family. The family has no choice but to behave. my father, the king, says, "What you got to do, you got to do it." Here, it's just the opposite. The whole country is following what your father said. Any baby is being thrown into the number. You, the daughter of the melech, you are in violation. How dare you? How dare you? She went off the derech. So her name was.
She didn't know how long was gone there to preach. Yeah, God.
I don't know what I don't know the details. But in any event, her real name is Bisya. Her real name is Bisya. That's what it says in Divrei Hayamim. Chazal saw in the name Bisya an allusion to her essence. She was Baska, the daughter of Hashem. She connected herself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, what's so fascinating is every Basya that you know, Batya, I know someone Batya, in the Sephardic pronunciation, Batya, every Basya that you know is really named not, it's named after this woman, but the pronunciation is not the pronunciation that was given to her by her father, or by Divrei Hayamim, but it's the pronunciation that was given to her by Chachmenu Zichronim Levracha. They took the name Bisya, and they have repronounced it, repackaged it with a new pronunciation, Basya, and that's common. I never heard someone Bisya, maybe I'm mistaken, but everyone calls this name Basya, and in Tanakh there's no such thing. There's no such thing. It's Bisya. It's Chazal's rendition of Bisya is what we use to refer to her.
It is correct, because in the case of Christianity, say, El son.
So you want to say he was the Ben? You want to tell me that Basya corresponds to, there's an allusion to Ben Hashem? I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Okay, let's now go to the next name. So if we call him now, what did she call him? She called him
Moshe.
Kimin Amayim Mishisiu. Kimin Amayim. From all the names she pulled down that itself. We're not going to do this now, but the truth is, if you want to call a person, this is a lot of grammar. The Orlean over here, the master is here himself. The Orlean, there's no one that knows Dikta more than Rav Orlean, but we're not going to go into this discussion now. If you want to, you want to call a person Moshe, because Menamayim Mishisiu, then you don't know grammar. Because Moshe is not the correct extraction from the word Mishisiu.
Right.
Okay, so that's a topic of discussion, not for now. And obviously the fact that he's Moshe and not another variation of the word Mishisiu brings with it a whole world of thought, a whole world of depth of what exactly it was did she mean when she said Minamayim Mishisiu. But we're not going there now. Let's put that aside for right now. And in fact, Rashi, there's a very long Rashi in this week's parasha. Rashi quotes Menachem. What's the shoresh of the word? He quotes Psukim, Yamsheni, Mimayim. The different Rashi quotes Psukim. It's a very big topic of discussion, but I just want to point it out right now, just very simply, Kiminamayim Mishisiu. And yet, what is so fascinating that in Chumash, and I don't know if it, I think. Is this Chumash or Tanakh? Let me see what it says over here. It says, and I think Chamishe Chumashe Torah. I don't know, it's shocking, it's really true. 642 times is the name Moshe mentioned. Has to be Tanakh. Can't be only Chumash.
No.
It says Pamim B'Torah HaKadosh. Tanakh or Chumash? I don't know. It says here, Sheish Meos Arboim Ushtayim Pa'amim. The Torah HaKadosh. 642 times. They get concordance. Okay, I didn't go look it up. I didn't look it up. Okay, I didn't look up anything I said from Likutim. But the name Moshe. Okay, whatever. It's not an important point. The name. Look how significant this name is. The name given to him by a Gentile. Why? Because what's the time everyone says the Pshutimikra? Because Hakara Satoiv. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu owes his life to this woman, and she called him Moshe, a constant reminder, I owe my life to you. He is called in Chumash Moshe 642 times. That's an amazing degree of Akara Satoiv. Okay, the degree of how much a person has an obligation to be Makir Toiv to someone that did a chesed, from all the names of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the name that was selected to stick with him because it captures the degree of Hakaras HaTov we have to this woman, what she has done for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, let's go to another name of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe is Kodesh or Arabic name?
That's another discussion. The Pashto says, Min Hamayim Mishi Siu. Mishi Siu is Lashon HaKodesh.
She didn't know Hebrew.
Okay, that's a discussion. You're right. That's the topic of discussion. Let's go weiter. But basically, we're not going to discuss this now. Basically, Kimin Hamayim Mishi Siu. Mishi Siu is Lashon HaKodesh. Moshe is derived from that expression, and therefore we call him Moshe. And this was given to him by Basia, and she herself has an interesting history of her name. Next, there's another name. Another name which is not so common, and it really brings with it a world of discussion. Moshe is called throughout Chazal, here and there, Ben Amram. Not Moshe Ben Amram, like we say, Yehoshua Ben Nun. And he's called Ben Amram. Ben Amram, that's his name. His name is Ben Amram.
Isn't Aaron also Ben Amram?
Yes, very good, but you never call Aaron. You never, ever call Aaron. Excellent, excellent point. It only comes to emphasize the question. Excellent, I never thought of that. Excellent. You never, ever called Aaron Ben Amram. Never. What?
No,
never heard that. Never heard that in Chazal. So, what is this name, Ben Amram? Is it a derogatory name, or is it a name of Shevach? Contradiction. Now this is the major thing. Wait, let me say my piece. I have only 6 minutes. Let me say my piece over here. Ben Amram. The word Ben Amram is used often in Chazal to refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. 99% of the time it's used l'shevach. From the context of how it is used, it is praiseworthy. For example, Vayasu Chain, okay, they built the Mishkan. Lahagin, I'm reading you one Chazal in. Where is this Gemara? This is in the Medrash. Lahagin Shavachon, the Medrash in Shemos, Medrash Rabbah, in Shemos. Lahagin Shavachon, Sheshamu Lekol Moshe. Veloyamu, this refers to when they went into the Yam. When they went, Yeshuvu Lefnei Pihachi Rois Lefnei Baal Tzafon. When Moshe, when they were running away from the Egyptians, and Moshe says, we're now going to go backwards. We're going to go closer to our enemy. Suicidal. It's suicidal what Moshe told them to do, to go backwards. Yet the Pasuk says, Vayasu chein. Lahagid shevachon sheshamu l'kol Moshe. They listened to Moshe. V'lo yamru. They did not say, Heyach niskarev el roitfeinu. Anu tshichim levroyach. We have to run away. How can we do something suicidal? Ela Amru, this is a beautiful Chazal. Ein lanu ela divrei ben Amram. We're only going to listen. Moshe Rabbeinu, he is our leader. We have in Moshe Rabbeinu emuna pishuta. If Moshe says to go back, we go back. We have emuna. Can you find a Chazal like this? He has a lot of Maamar Chazal. I don't have time for the Maamar Chazal, but let's just focus on this one Chazal. Yeah, a Maamar Chazal like this. Such a Shevach for Klal Yisrael. The Emunah Pshuta. Maamar say, if he'll tell me to jump off the roof, I'll jump off the roof. He told them to jump off the roof. And they jumped off the roof. And they said, Ein Lanu Ela Divrei Ben Aram. They're referring to Moshe Rabbeinu with the ultimate respect and awe. And how do they refer to him? Ben Amram. Wow. What happened to Moshe? What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Where'd that name go? Out the door? What happened to Moshe? All of a sudden he's called Ben Amram in this Chazal. And then numerous other Chazal like this. So I'll hear the answer. Here's the one answer. One answer is pretty obvious. And one is a little bit of a chiddush. One answer is the mile of Klal Yisrael is the recognition, I mean, very simple answer, of Misoira. You believe in your Rebbe not because you believe in your Rebbe. Your Rebbe is just a transmitter of the Mesorah, of the legacy of Klal Yisrael. Moshe was a student of Amram. Amram was the Gadol Hadar. Before Moshe took over, he was the Gadol Hadar. Whatever Amram said was the rule. And Amram was this child of who? Levi, correct? Was this someone else?
Ben Yitzhar.
I'm sorry, all the generations. I made it all the generations. Okay, then Yitzhak ben Kasman. You go back all the way back to Levi. There's a legacy. When you believe in your Rebbe, it's not because my Rebbe is a Baal Maifes. It's because my Rebbe is the carrier of the Messiah, Ben Amram. That is critical in the Yadus. This is something that is critical. Okay, that is a very simple approach. You don't have to be a Gersa Chacham to come up to appreciate that. That's why he's called Ben Amram. Moshe was the God of Hadar. He carried this. Let's think a little more deeper. And that is, this is a beautiful idea. Go in the car, you have a GPS. You have reached your destination. In 300 meters, turn right. 300 meters, turn left. Whose voice is that? Whose voice is that? Who's giving you orders? Who's giving you orders in the GPS? I don't know, some artificial voice, or maybe there was a voiceover, they had someone record all of these things. When the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, in whose voice did Hashem speak?
His father.
Amram, it's Chazal. All the time. All them. Did Hashem, what voice? What was the voiceover? Hashem doesn't have a voice. Hashem is infinite. Did Hashem speak to Moshe in the voice of Avraham, in the voice of Yitzchak, the voice of Terach, in the voice of Adam, in the voice of his wife, Tzipora? Okay? What did it sound like? It was the voice of his father. Hashem used the sound, the pronunciation of Amram to speak to Moshe.
How about the Aram?
We don't know. We don't know. It doesn't say. It's very interesting. We don't know. We don't know what voice it sounded like for Yeshaya, all the Nevi'im. Think about that. We have no clue. When Hashem spoke to all of the Nevi'im. But sometimes, no, we don't have a voice. Koya Mar Hashem, you don't have a voice? I don't know.
You're in your sleep.
Okay, I don't know. Whose voice? All of the Nevi'im. We don't know. But one voice we know. Amram. Nimelo, when we call Moshe ben Amram, it alludes to. Now, I'm not saying this is Apikorsis Hashem. Moshe, the son of Hashem. Moshe ben Hashem. Not ben as a biological child of Hashem, Chas v'Shalom. It means Moshe is the student of Hashem. Moshe, we say, B'nai Torah. Eved Hashem, B'nai Torah. What are B'nai Torah? What were the physical, are we the physical, biological children of the Torah? Of course not. We are students. We are the children, spiritual children of the Torah. B'nai Torah. When you say Moshe ben Amram, it's a way of giving a shtech at Christianity, so to speak. It's a way, this fellow says, oh, he's the ben Hashem, right? This fellow, he calls himself the son of God. The son of God. There's no such thing as the son of God, excuse me. But there's something called a student of Hashem. Moshe was a student of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You would say, Moshe, ein lanu lishama ela leben of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The ben of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That doesn't sound good. It sounds like the Neitzrim. But when you say ben Amram, Amram here does not mean necessarily the biological child of the individual called Amram. It means he was a student of the Ribbono Shel Olam who spoke to him in the voice of his father, Amram. So we say, Ein lanu lishama ela leben Amram, it means to this person who shechina midaberes mitoich groinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was called the divine spirit spoke through his mouth. He was a Navi. His Navu was different. He opened up his mouth. Hashem spoke. Whose voice came out of Moshe? Moshe was the Kivat Peh. Moshe did not have a voice. So when Moshe miraculously spoke, words came out of his mouth. You know what voice came out of his mouth? Amram's voice. Moshe, when he gave Nevuah to Klal Yisrael, Klal Hashem, it wasn't his voice. It was Hashem's voice. Whose voice did Klal Yisrael hear? Ben Amram. Ein lanu lishama ela leben Amram. They're listening to the Ribbono Shel Olam in Amram's voice. That's what it means. That's why he's called. But we hear it's the word of Hashem. That's what's coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. They're not referring to Moshe, they're referring to the Nevuah. We call him Ben Amram. There's one other person that did call him Ben Amram in a derogatory form, and that was Kalev. When Kalev wanted to rally the troops by the Meraglim, so he wanted to make believe that he was Moshe's enemy, so he spoke to him in the derogatory Ben Amram. But here he has a whole beautiful piece, which I'm not going to do now. The reason why he did that was because who was married to Basia? Kalev. Kalev was married to the one who called Moshe, Moshe. So when Kalev says Ben Amram, so if you say Moshe, he's referring to his wife, because my wife is the one who called him Moshe. When you say Ben Amram, you're not referring to him as by Moshe. You're basically rejecting your wife. You're rejecting the salvation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Only Ach V'Rach, when Kalev refers to Moshe with the term Ben Amram, is derogatory. Only because for one reason. Because Kalev is married to Basia, who called Moshe, Moshe. So then when you're coming to reject what your wife did, you call him Ben Amram. But everyone else in Tanakh, when they say Ben Amram, it's the Shechina. The Shechina spoke in the voice of Amram.